First reading is taken from Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 32, and it's on page 1096 in the Church Bibles. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And after they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to gather together in freedom. Father, we thank you that we can look at this whole topic of prayer together this morning. And I want to pray for all of us here today that you will enable us to lay aside the feelings of the things that we feel we haven't done in prayer, and that you will open our minds to more of the adventure we can go on with you as we seek to become a prayerful church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. We're continuing our series, Marks of a Healthy Church, and we've got to the prayer one now, right in the middle, and it's a great privilege to be able to share some thoughts this morning. I love talking about prayer. I love talking about mission. I love talking about God and his love for each person. But I'm aware that every time you mention the word prayer, there's a sort of gasp, because we all think, oh no, it's not a sermon on prayer. I wish I hadn't come this morning. So I'm praying that God will speak this morning and encourage us all on the journey. Because isn't it strange how we always think someone else is better at it than us? And we always think that we don't do it well enough. And I have no clue where that comes from. But anyway, let's go on the journey this morning. My best definition of prayer that I like at the moment is Tom Wright. Prayer is me being me in the presence of God being God. It's simple. I don't have to wear a mask. I am just me, known by God and loved by God. It involves praising him, thanking him, coming back and saying sorry. It also involves asking for myself, for the needs of others. We pray on our own. We pray together with others. It's an individual and a corporate journey. And my sense is that actually prayer is more easily caught than taught. Get together with others. Get together with someone else who loves to pray, and it sort of rubs off. I remember as a young Christian had the privilege with Sue, who's here, we were living in the house with a lady who just oozed prayer, oozed Jesus. And we just picked it up from living in her household for a season. Get with others who pray. Because when we pray, things happen. When we open our minds to receive his truth, he gives it to us. When we open our hearts to receive his love, we receive peace. And we receive guidance. I was reminded this morning, after the first service, of a time in a household where we were praying for furniture. We had no furniture. And we prayed, there were three or four of us in the flat. We put the call out to the church, and you know, God gave us a completely coordinated sitting room. Carpets, chairs, curtains, the lot. It was orange and brown, for your information. Not one of my colours, But God knows when we ask. He just loves to bless. It's great that we have an archbishop at the moment who's putting prayer right central in the priorities that he is making for his ministry. In fact, he's just moved in a whole new prayer movement from around Europe into Lambeth, and he is saying, I want it to become a house of prayer, which is wonderful. If there's not a renewal of prayer and of prayerful communities in this country, forget a renewal of the gospel, he said when I was hearing him speak at EA last summer. It isn't going to happen. All of the Christian history says renewal of the church and of society begins with a renewal of prayer and community life in prayer. Churches who are made up of people who pray start to see God move, start to grow, start to go deeper in their understanding, because prayer changes things and situations. Had this fantastic story, some of you may have read it, put out through the 24/7 network about a month ago. A doctor in Papua New Guinea was praying. She was running out of energy. And she vented her prayers through Facebook. Great stuff, social media and prayer. And she said a number of things, but basically we have 2 bottles of paracetamol left for the entire hospital. We have sick patients and our strongest antibiotics have run out. Our drug order from 4 months ago is missing in transit. Within 12 hours, she says, I had messages from 45 people in 11 countries around the world telling me they were praying, with at least 12 churches and groups praying also. She says, I was touched, many people cared, but she was in a pretty bad mood, and she had lost the faith, she said, to believe that God was going to answer this prayer. 36 hours later, a ship came into port. Boxes started being unloaded. 36 boxes in total. She said, I was like a child on Christmas morning opening those boxes, shrieking with delight. One box opened, 8 huge bottles of 1,000 paracetamol. Incredible, but that wasn't all. By the time they'd unpacked them, there were 24,000 bottles of paracetamol, hundreds of bottles of much needed painkillers and supplies. It turned out it was just a generic shipment sent out once a year, which just happened to arrive on the day we had nothing left, which coincidentally turned up after hundreds of people prayed. And she said, a couple of thousand paracetamol would have done. But we have a God who answers prayer in abundance. Her blog is amazing, by the way. I've started looking into this blog because what God is doing through the people in this hospital in Papua New Guinea as they pray and seek him is wonderful. But anyway, that's another story. This morning, I'm going to look at 2 aspects of what this prayerful church might look like, as for us as individuals and for us as a church family. And the first one is prayer as a key to discovering God's heartbeat, because that's what it's all about, our relationship with our loving Heavenly Father through Jesus, with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to dip briefly into one of my favorite chapters in St. John's Gospel, chapter 15. Jesus is helping his disciples with the essentials of what it means to follow him. And he's using this amazing analogy of a vine and branches. He is the vine, we are the branches. And the first thing I want to draw our attention to is his invitation in verse 4 to remain in him. Remain in me, or as the Message version puts it, make your home in me. Soak in his friendship, that invitation to be closely linked with Jesus, hanging out with, chatting to him, being comfortable with, because it's when we do that we get his perspective on what actually he wants us to be praying about. He goes on a few verses later to say in verse 7, because if you remain in me and my word remains in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Our praying is, I believe, supposed to be part of our relationship with Jesus, not tacked on, not an ought or a chore or a job to do, but an integral part of being a follower of Jesus. Brother Lawrence, an amazing monk many centuries ago, discovered this. And we've picked up his turn of phrase now. Practicing the presence of God. He used to work in the kitchen, apparently, and his job was peeling bags of potatoes. Don't know about you, but that would not have been a job I would have wanted to do, day after day after day. But he learnt, as he peeled the potatoes, to be mindful of his God and talk to his God and listen to his God, so much so that this tradition and way of praying has been passed down the centuries, and at the time, people would flock into the kitchen to spend time with a man who was oozing the presence of God because he was plugged in to the vine. The next thing in this chapter, Jesus goes on mind-blowingly. We've been dipping into this morning. He says in verse 15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. We are friends, not servants. And when you're friends with someone, you know what they're thinking. That you're sharing hearts, you're sharing plans. You're not distanced from them as a servant might be. That whole amazing sense that the Father is inviting you and I on this adventure of our walk with him, to be known by him and allow him to know us more. And I'm also aware, we've already been praying about it this morning, that in any congregation of this size, we have got people here this morning who are in a hard place for whatever reason, because life sends its knocks. And they come and they come and they come. And sometimes we can feel so despondent. But Jesus is reminding us this morning that as we literally hang on to him, he is faithful and he will hang on to us. Especially when we're faced with silence. We've asked, we've looked, we've waited. Persistence is a huge hallmark of a prayerful church, because we need to continue to be people who stand. As the people who've walked in the doors of this church have stood down the generations, they've stood firm for Jesus and his truth. We're invited to stand together. And then lastly, Jesus reminds us from this little passage that it's about serving with joy. It's all about our fruit bearing. And it's interesting because obviously he's talking about a vine. So he's thinking in the analogy of grapes, and he mentions it 8 times in this short passage in John. He's trying to get it through to the disciples' head. He says, I have chosen you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And effective fruit bearing doesn't work unless Jesus is at the center, leading and directing and empowering. But when we are seeking from that place of drawing on his resources in our praying to love, to care, to share, to help people, whatever that might be, then we will find that our praying refills us and sends us out to love more. I love this quote of Mother Teresa. If you pray without serving, your prayers will be in vain. You serve without praying, your service will be in vain. Go pray and serve in the power of God's Spirit. And across the nation, and I have the privilege in my day job of working with lots of different churches and ministries and organizations that are out there doing the business of prayer and mission. I was just talking to somebody yesterday on the phone who'd just come in from a healing on the streets session in one of our cities, where they have seen people who've been prayed for a couple of years previous, who'd come 2 years ago saying that they had been given weeks to live with a terminal illness, and they'd prayed and they'd felt better, and whether it's in remission, we don't know, but they came back 2 years later and say, well, I'm still here and I'm in Birmingham doing my shopping, and will you pray for me again? The Shrewsbury street pastors, and isn't it great we have street pastors in Whitney, have been praised just a couple of months ago by the fire brigade in Shrewsbury, as the churches had got together, prayed, discerned what they needed to do, and sent people out to pray and love the community in the evening. Because since they've started to patrol since 2011, there have been no people taking their lives in the River Severn. Prior to 2007, between 2004 and 2011, on that stretch of the river, 29 people had taken their lives. So a public declaration of us as the body of Christ in Shrewsbury, gathering together, seeking God. Lord, where do you want us to serve? Where do you want us to walk? The Lord knew where they needed to walk. And the wonderful thing is that as we make time for being with God, he fills us up with more of his spirit. I found that when I don't spend time with him, my spiritual tanks get low and I get de-energized, discouraged, and I become trapped in the busyness of life. I believe in the Western church, big generalization, but we're into McDonald's drive-through in a big way. Whereas that's Jesus. Drives-through are fine. The arrow prayers, the snatch time, the pray as you go, we need that. But actually, Jesus is inviting us all, and I believe daily, for a full course meal, which includes listening to him, opening the Bible, hanging out with him, however that works. At the moment, I'm into lots of silence. I just sit there with my cup of tea and sit before God and allow him to do whatever he wants to do. Now, that may not be right for you. You may want to go out jogging or running or whatever. It doesn't actually matter how we do it. I think the invitation from looking at John 15 is, will we make some time to hang out with God? Because then we move on to the next part of what I'd like to share as part of a prayerful church, because I believe prayer is the key to discovering God's purposes. And I want to look now briefly at our reading from Acts 4, which, if you're on target with your community Bible experience — I had to do a lot of reading yesterday — you will have read this yesterday. You will have already been in Acts. So it's a remarkable story that we had a little cameo read for us this morning. And it began with Peter and John, way back at the beginning of chapter 3, going out at the time of prayer. They were on their way to the temple. They see a man in need. They stretch out their hand. They pray in the name of Jesus, and the man is healed. And that caused great consternation among the Jewish authority, which leads to Peter and John both having an opportunity to witness to Jesus, but they also were put in prison. Then they just did not know what to do with them, so they let them go and said, don't talk about Jesus anymore, and they said, not on your life, came back and shared what had happened with the church gathered. And I want to look at two aspects of this. I want to look at the people first. They've obviously had a rhythm of prayer. As I said, they were going to the temple, chapter 3, verse 1. They believed in the power of prayer in Jesus' name. And then in chapter 4, verse 13, I love this verse, the authorities took note that they were ordinary, unschooled men, but they took note that they had been with Jesus. That's our link back to what we were looking at in John 15 just now. They knew how to fight their spiritual battles with prayer, and at that point they were united and of one mind. And in today's speak, I would describe it that they had a culture of prayer in their life together. It was part of what they did. They prayed as part of their lifestyle, and where necessary, had special prayer meetings. For those of us going through the Bible, we'll see that as we trot through Acts of the Apostles and on into the other letters. They understood that prayer was a vital part, a vital tool of what Jesus had given them to stand firm. They prayed and they saw God acted, so they prayed more and they saw God act more, and so it went on in progression. Nothing is impossible for a bunch of ordinary people to achieve for God. I'm thinking of a couple of churches as I speak this morning. I think of friends of mine leading a new Anglican church plant up on Tyneside in Newcastle, taking over an old building. It's right near to the university quarter. And it's an amazing journey as they've sought the Lord in prayer. He's provided the resources and the refurbishment of most of the building. They've been having community meals,
And in the wonderful economy of the Lord, they suddenly found that a whole lot of ex-offenders came in one evening. And they have basically found themselves working with now other organisations, with ministering to ex-offenders, helping them rebuild their lives, helping many of them discover faith in Jesus. And the wonderful timing of the Lord is that the person that God called to, was called to leave his job as a senior prison governor in London. God called him back home, and he really went through the mill. He's a young guy. He's a worship leader. And so my friend has asked him to come and lead worship in this church. So you've got this ex-prison governor leading worship in a church full of ex-offenders at the moment. When they sing Amazing Grace, apparently the roof lifts off. And another friend of mine, at this amazing little church in Birmingham. Again, tiny church, heart for God, praying, God, show us your purposes. They do have quite a few different sorts of prayer meetings. And God has opened this door for refugees and asylum seekers from closed Middle Eastern nations. This morning, 43 are being baptized. And it's the love of the community. It's the teaching. They're hanging out. My friend said that they did a prayer tunnel last week. They were supposed to be having a prayer meeting for just the leadership of the church, which is easy because at the moment they have to translate everything, so it takes double the length of time. Anyway, they walk in and there's 20 of these wonderful people there. So they had to replan their prayer meeting, decided to do a prayer tunnel. They just stood, two of them, all walking through the prayer tunnel, and God was meeting these men and women and children and healing them, restoring them, helping them discover him. We're on an exciting journey with an exciting God. And prayer is such an important part of the adventure. And I believe as we're looking to head the invitation that God has so clearly given us to enlarge the place of our tent, let's make it our business to be so close to God that we don't miss out on anything that he wants to do in us and through us. The people, ordinary, just like us, God can use us. Because we have an extraordinary God. And then they're praying together. I notice it was the first thing they did when Peter and John came back. No discussion, no committee formed, no program launched, no email sent, no Facebook posted or Twittered. They got down to it. And in our Western culture, we are so good at talking and organizing, and that is really good. It's one of our major strengths as a nation. But sometimes we have to learn to pull back a bit and allow ourselves to position God in first. Vividly remember a time when I was on staff at St. Aldate's Church. It was quite an hilarious time. 5 of us on the leadership team had really bad backs. I mean, some people had been in bed. I'd slipped a disc in the middle of my back. And we were going away for our 3 days annual time to pray and listen to God. Hilarious. The 5 of us had to go on the train because we couldn't sit for any length of time. And we got there, and as soon as we got there and we laid everything down and we started to really seek God, he started to speak very clearly. And part of the situation at that time in that church was that everyone was putting their faith in the reputation of the church, in the teaching, in the preaching, in the programs. And the Father's heart was that they would be focused back on him. So we went straight back in, and those entrusted with the preaching and teaching changed the whole focus for the next term. We'd probably got a bit too full of ourselves, and God needed to draw to our attention that he is Lord and he is central. So they did that first. They were God-focused. It's interesting in that prayer, it's adoration of God. They could have come in with a shopping list. God, protect us. Herod might want to arrest us. But they came in focusing on God. They weren't praying scared. They stood on God's word. We see them quoting Psalm 2. And their faith was built up as God revealed what he wanted them to do. Colin Dye, in his story, as he's told a number of stories, he's the pastor of Kensington Temple, which is a large Pentecostal church in London. And he was chatting to the Lord a number of years ago when the Notting Hill Carnival was a place of violence, drug dealing, and not very much, a very nice place to be. And the Lord said to him, well, what are you doing about it? Woke him and the church up as they started then to pray strategically how the Lord led them, going out in blessing and praise and worship. And over the next couple of years, the whole culture of that carnival was changed. And it's now hailed as one of the best examples of diversity in our nation, because they stood on what God had spoken to them. They were bold and specific in their prayer too. Verse 29, take notice, Lord, stretch out your hand. Not, we just pray if it might be your will, Lord. Very direct. And as they spoke the truth, they shared their testimony of Jesus. They were on solid ground, asked big things of a big God. I remember a Baptist church way back in the end of the 90s. And they felt that God was asking them to pray. He was telling them to enlarge the place of their tent. And they came up with the 10 most wanted list. Each person was invited to think of 10 people and to pray for them for a month. And then to go on through that year praying and caring and sharing. They put in a prayer school to help teach people. And over the next 4 years, they saw their church double in size as they learnt how to stand on God's word and reach out from the place of prayer. They were intentional about prayer. And that's the fantastic thing about what we are doing, what many churches are doing in this Hope 2014 year, joining together different days of prayer, seasons of prayer. And lastly, from this passage, I see they were expectant. They didn't dash away. They waited and gave God a chance. And boy, did he come in. The place where they met shook. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I think we'd class that as an exciting prayer meeting, would we not? They'd truly met with God, and he had refilled them, equipped them, and gave them the courage to stand for him where they were in their pagan city. And I believe that God is giving each of us an invitation this morning to go deeper with him in prayer. We're all starting from different places, but he is able to help us, to lead us, to support, to guide. He's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. We have a great foundation here of prayer to build on. We have some wonderful opportunities for prayer outside of our services. I wonder how, though, does God want to develop our rhythm of prayer in this next season? Give us your answers, please, on a post-it note. For some here this morning, it'll be heading off to the prayer ministry team or praying with a friend as you sit and asking for God to help you. Let's use this community Bible reading as a springboard to our praying for those of us who are doing that. Above all, why don't you try and get with others and pray together? We've got the gathering this Wednesday. We've got our prayer day coming up on 2 Saturdays' time with lots of different opportunities to pray on your own with others. Can you pick up the flyer from the prayer hub? There's an invitation. This will be emailed out. We'd love to see many of you come. Our dream on the morning of that Saturday is to prayer walk every street in our parish. So we need as many pairs of legs, please, as you can. And come and see us at the prayer hub if you want any more resources or ideas. I think the Father is simply looking for children to come as children, to just come and trust him. Let's just have a moment and then I'll pray as we close. Father, we thank you for your presence here with us. And Father, we want to pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to release any of us from where we feel stuck in our walk with you, at an impasse through disappointment or hurt,
pray for a real release into freedom in our walk with you. Father, we're praying for us all that you will resource us afresh with your Holy Spirit this morning. Fill us up so that we can go out of this place to all that you've called us to be and do this week, dripping with your presence. For the others of us, Lord, it's our hunger for you and you alone that you want to minister to us this morning. Ask, Father, that you will come and reignite our love for you. And Father, as a church, as we're looking at so many things, have so many doors opening to us, we're praying, Lord, that you will refocus our priorities in line with yours. For we ask this to your praise and your glory. Amen.